Welcome back to another marathon night of Radio Gold on AsylumFantasySports.com.
Yes, indeed. Huh?
I mean, what are you chortling about over there?
Oh, just some of the stuff that you see. It's wonderful.
You're reading some headlines.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Point Blank, right? You're on Point
Blank. Point Blank. Flager and Briggs. Welcome in. You drop us a line whenever you feel like it. AsylumFootball@gmail.com. We have to come up with a new email, like pointblank@gmail or something.
Well, we could do that. It's own special mailbag so that your point blank emails don't get lost in the shuffle of the millions of emails that flood into What's the other one?
AsylumFantasySports@gmail.com.
As you can tell, Rick mans the email machine. I just pretty much talk. Rick does everything other than that. So, at Asylum Football on Twitter. I'm going to keep beating that drum, Scott. I know it annoys you, so it's incumbent upon you and everyone else who is annoyed by it to get us to 2,000. And then we're going to make it more annoying until you get us to 3,000 and so on and so forth. So, party never ends in terms of the tweeters, Rick.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's
you got to read this story. You're losing your mind over
that. It's not
that
huge of a story. I mean, they show this picture of Bruce Jenner.
He looks like a mannequin. That's a scary man right there.
But rumor has it that he is wooing Cher.
Wooing Cher?
Yeah.
What happened to that other horrific broad he was married to? Is that over?
I don't know. Wasn't it a Kardashian or something?
Yeah, the mom was the girl with the nice hind end. I got to watch my language, even though it's Point Blank. Yeah, Kardashian, that's her name. Wasn't he married to that broad?
I don't know.
Because I think that's why he looks like a mannequin now, because they're all self-absorbed and have him getting those facelifts and stuff. He's a scary-looking dude.
He doesn't even look real.
No, he really does. He looks like a puppet or something.
He ought to have strings hanging on him.
You know what he looks like? He looks like anybody else if you go to the funeral home, to the wake. He looks like anybody else after they've been embalmed and they put all the makeup on and they look kind of like them, but not really. That's what he looks like right now.
This picture I'm looking at, he looks like he was in a fire.
He was in a fire?
Oh, my God.
He's been tanning, too, apparently.
No, I mean, he actually looks like he has blister scars all over him. I mean, it's just...
What made you Google pictures of Bruce Jenner?
No, it was just on the headlines, you know, and so then I just clicked on the story. It's bizarre, but apparently they've been friends since the 70s. That's when he still looked like a real person, but now they've recently started texting and talking nonstop.
Cher's got to be like 100, isn't she?
She's 67, he's 64.
Oh, so they're in the same age range there. She's a scary-looking broad, too, though.
Well, I tell you what, though. I mean, you can tell she's had some plastic, but she still looks like a human being.
Well, you give her that. She still looks like the human version of herself. So.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
she is 67. You know, I don't know. It's just, you know, I remember she was... wonder how old Sonny would be if he was still alive, because he was considerably older.
Was he? I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. That was an interesting story. I saw a thing on Sonny and Cher. You know how Sonny got into it?
Into music?
Yeah. He was a paper boy. Now, this is probably late 50s, early 60s.
Okay.
And he used to, and of course it was back in the days where the kids walking down, you know, and he walked the paper to wherever he went, you know. He was in the city, of course. And he delivered paper at a radio station.
Okay.
And he used to go in and he'd deliver the radio station and he'd either bring in like an old tape or song on a piece of paper and give to them and says, yeah, here, yeah, I want my chance. And it just so happened one day he came in, was delivering the paper. Now, back in those days, you could still make some, I guess, you know, some livable change when you were, he was in high school. He was probably about 17, I think, at the time. And he goes in there, and the station manager and the owner were having this heated argument, extremely heated argument, and they were yelling back and forth, and apparently Sonny was there, and he dropped the paper on the thing, and the manager was arguing something about the type of music. He wasn't going to start playing the new stuff or whatever it was. I can't remember exactly the story. But the owner says, you will do that. He goes, no, you can fire me. I'm not doing that. He goes, okay, you're fired. And he looked over at Sonny and says, you want to be a station manager? Start tomorrow.
Wow.
And that's how he walked into a station manager job.
Stuff
at a radio
like that
station.
Never happens these days. You hear like the Johnny Cash story, assuming that movie was at least remotely true. He goes in there, you could pay a nickel or something to have a record recorded. So they went in there and did that, and the right guy happened to be walking by, and next thing, literally 45 minutes later, he's Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It seems like this crap doesn't happen today.
Doesn't seem like
it. You got to go on American Idol, or what's that other one with this stupid country singer?
Where'd Justin Bieber come from?
I don't know.
You know, I mean,
did he win some sort of contest or something?
I don't have a clue. I have no idea. I don't care about him. But
he really needs to be eradicated from the face of the earth. I mean, he really does. It's, you know, we're worried about Kim Jong-un and everything going on in Russia. Let's start right here at home and take care of Justin Bieber and then work our way out, I think is what we need to do. Let's clean up our own house before we start messing around with other people.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what they need to do? They need to have, because that's the way you hit it big now. They need to have, radio talk show host idol. We could probably go on there and win that.
Oh, no doubt.
And then we just rock it right to the top. I mean, you can't get much better than we are now, but, you know, a few more listeners couldn't hurt.
Well, no, a few more listeners. Oh, the more the merrier when it comes to that.
Unless you're a jerk, then we don't want you to listen. We only want people who we like to listen.
Exactly. You know, and an interesting story.
All
came
right.
across. I wanted to get your take on it. Because I'm sure you're really going to love this
one. All right. So you're setting me up for something here. I like that. Lobbing me a softball, I think.
Yeah, you're gonna love it. A Florida couple.
Thank you, Florida.
They retired from their management jobs to care for the poor.
Ugh, I'm out already.
Huh? Well, no. I mean, listen to this now. Debbie and Chico Jimenez openly admit feeding more than 100 people who are homeless in Daytona Beach. Okay?
All right.
Well, they are, and I have to find exactly how much it is, but anyway, in all, there it is, one of our homeless friends said that Wednesday is just not going to be Wednesday anymore, Debbie Jimenez added. We were given 10 days to either pay the fine or tell them we're going to court. We're going to court. The police don't like it, but how can we turn our backs on the hungry? They're told they are not allowed to feed homeless people.
They're not allowed.
They're going to get arrested.
For feeding homeless people.
Yes.
What law are they violating by doing
that? Well, here it is. You know, she's 52. She's a retired auto parts store manager. He's 60. He's a retired construction worker. And they opened up a ministry called Spreading the Word Without Saying a Word. And basically what they do is they have people come in. And in fact, one of the guys that was, they have actually people that help them. But they have they go to a park and they bring a bunch of food, and homeless people come there when they feed them. They basically have a picnic.
All right.
Okay, well, you're not allowed to do that.
Why? No permit, I assume? Is it some form over function local government crap?
Well, the funny thing, in all, police officers ticketed 6 people, including 4 volunteers who helped the Jimenezes on Wednesday. One of them, a man in a wheelchair who recently escaped homelessness because of these people, to pay it forward, pay back. The fines levied by authorities total $2,238. We as a city have spent millions of dollars to turn that park into a place for families, kids, and dog lovers. We have an ordinance that says when people want to perform acts of kindness or charity, they must coordinate with our local social service agencies. So in order to be kind, you have to call a social service agency and coordinate it. They were told the previous Wednesday that if they come back there, they would be cited and they could risk going to jail. There is a segment of the homeless population that is homeless by choice. I don't want to impugn them all, but some are homeless because they are sex offenders, substance abusers, and bank robbers. That's why we ask Good Samaritans to coordinate with our social service agencies, because they know who needs to be served.
That almost has to be fake. I mean,
it is not.
I don't know where to start. There's so much there. You know, I never understood this stuff. You need to get away from the homeless a little bit. But there's so many rules like this out there. Every once in a while you hear the story. There's the big debate going on. Or do you have a constitutional right to flash your lights at oncoming traffic to warn them there's a cop there? Because every now and again somebody gets the wood shampoo over that one. And then you see these dummies getting arrested all the time. Now, I'd never do this, you know, but I don't have a kind cell in my body.
Do you want to hear a little bit more?
Oh, I do. I really do. Please.
Okay, this is Chico Jimenez is quoting. You know, we've been down there a year, and the police have been around, and not one of them has ever said one word. This time, the police said, we are creating more homeless people by feeding them in the park.
So, wait a minute.
We are enabling them to stay homeless by giving them one meal a week. Does that make sense to you? You know, that's what he's saying. It's so crazy.
That's to imply that there's people with homes. They're doing fine. Maybe not a lot of money, but they got a place to live. And they're saying, you know what? This apartment's great. But if I move out and I live on the street, I can get a free sandwich from Mr. Jimenez here every week. So I am now homeless, and I've created this other problem. This can't be. That is so fantastic. I don't even know where to go with it. It's wow. It's wow. And it just goes on and on. That's like a 4-page story you have in your hand there.
It's incredible. It's you know, and they talk about, I mean, it just goes on and on. The guy, he actually videotaped the event, and it's just a long line of people, and they're putting food on the plate, and it says chicken patties, you know, cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, onion, greens, beans, sausage, macaroni, you know.
I might stop by.
Normal
and
stuff
that
like
sound
that.
Bad.
And he shows police officers using a cruiser hood to write down the volunteers' identifications. One notable moment on the film captures a Daytona Beach police officer telling Jimenez, you've got to have permits. Yeah. And it says, each week we celebrate somebody's birthday. We have over 100 people every week. It's always somebody's birthday, Chico said. On the tape, you can hear us singing happy birthday as a group. You know, but they're not allowed to do this. And then the police officer accuses the Jimenezes of staging a permanent birthday party, adding, you can't just call it a birthday party. You still need to have a birthday. Where does it end?
How do you ever defend this in the court of public opinion? This is why, Rick. Here's the lesson you got to take from this. I don't pay a lot of attention to politics. I got into it for a while, and it makes you nauseous after a while. But the only thing I do pay attention to is my local politics. Those people can turn your life upside down. Because you put boneheads, like whoever's in charge of Daytona Beach, in charge, and this form over function crap gets made. So here's what they told you. Here's what's stuck in my head. So you go to the social service department, and basically you hold a bum fantasy draft, you know, through them, and they tell you, all right, this guy's money, you can feed him. This guy's a bank robber. How many bank robbers? He's not a very damn good bank robber if he's homeless at this point. I think the bank robber would have some
cash. And they still know
cash.
He's a bank robber.
Yeah, why is he still hanging out? So you got pedophiles just hanging out, according to these people. So you're telling me they got a file on every bum walking the streets of Daytona, and you got to go in there, and it's got to be a draft. I wonder, do you line them all up, and is it like picking your dodgeball team? You're all right, you get a sandwich. You beat cheeks, pal. Yeah, I know you. You get out of here. What the hell is... Now, here's what it is. The truth of the matter is there's a lot of money in Daytona Beach. They don't want these bums in the dog park. They probably got fancy dog runs, and they got these horrific women with that look just like Bruce Jenner, and they have them, and they got their stupid little dogs in their $1,000 purses, and they don't want these guys on Felt Street out there roaming around uglying up the place. See, if he was feeding them in some back alley, no one would care about this, but he brings them out in the park where the rich white people are. You can't have that. See, you can't have that. So
well, there's some dog
that's
lovers
what it's
out
really
there.
Yeah, the dog lovers and the children, because the children can't see bums. You know, you don't drive down any street in America and see this. I probably should quit calling them bums, but I'm not that sensitive. Because at the core, I still find this very funny. So what's Jimenez going to do? Are they going to keep doing it? Because what I would love to see is for them to actually be thrown in jail for giving a chicken sandwich to the... Because these people, for whatever it costs them to get back out of jail, the story, they'll be millionaires for the story. And then they can just... What they ought to do then is have like a bumapalooza. You know, they'll get all this money, they'll sell this story, and just bring them in from all around the country and have 10,000 people chilling out, singing happy birthday and eating chicken patty.
Well, maybe they could bring in Ozzy and have it like Oz Bumfest or something.
I would attend that. I would. I'd eat the sandwich. I'd do... I'm not volunteering. I'm not doing anything. I had a bad experience with a homeless guy one time, so I'm not always... all that
well see that's why
plight.
You don't feed them
well
you, you could have
yeah, they're treating them like
experience.
Stray dogs. If you feed them, they won't go away. That's what this guy's saying. They tell you got that dog running around in your backyard, you feel bad for him and want to throw him a bone, but you can't do it because then he'll never leave. It's the same thing with the bums. You just start throwing chicken patties out willy-nilly to former bank robbers and
pedophiles,
scoundrels and ne'er-do-wells, and then they never go away. So they're probably thinking, all right, they're in Daytona. If we don't feed them, eventually they'll run off to Sarasota and hope somebody feeds them there, and they'll just keep moving. It's like a bum circuit looking for sandwiches.
Now, what's going to happen with all these bums there when spring break comes?
Oh, forget about it. You know, they need to tell you that. No underage drinking. This isn't Cancun, and no feeding the bums. You know, those are the two rules you need to know. So kids... You know, I know we're real big amongst the college students.
So while you're getting hammered and taking
right.
all your clothes off, don't throw the bums
yeah.
any potato
yeah.
chips
no,
or anything.
No, don't do that. You can flash them. You can let them do body shots off of you, but don't give them an apple. You can't do it. We won't put up with it here. Yeah, that's a good point.
Unless you coordinate with the social services.
Yeah, 2 weeks, that's a good point, Rick. 3 weeks a year, Daytona Beach, it becomes pretty much perfectly legal to binge drink on the streets and twist your shirt over your head like a helicopter, but if you give a bum a banana, you're going down, pal. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is the world we're living in right now. This world isn't for me. This is why my goal in life is to get enough money to get independently wealthy, to buy 10,000 acres in the slap middle of Wyoming somewhere, build a 12-foot fence around it, and you'll never see me again because of crap like this.
Oh,
you know,
exactly.
Speaking of politics, do you know who just got nominated in a primary in North Carolina?
I do, but why don't you shock me anyway?
Clay Aiken from American Idol is now qualified by being an American Idol winner. Apparently, we don't only use that American Idol to determine our... music superstars.
It obviously makes you extremely intelligent and political because you win American Idol.
You won a singing contest, so you got your record deal. You did that. Now you're qualified to have one of the 300 and some odd votes to make decisions for our entire country, for the world, basically. And you know the best part? This is my favorite part. You know, we like to talk about death on this show. He basically won because the second place guy, while the votes were being cast, died. So congratulations to Clay Aiken.
But the good news to that is, at least they found the guy's body and he didn't
That's
sit
true.
There for three
he
or four years.
Out or he didn't explode, you know.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That could happen. You know, I scoured all night last night, Rick, in preparation for this show, looking for an undiscovered dead guy. I couldn't find one, so...
I couldn't either, but I did come across another nice story.
Oh, all right. You're a plethora of...
I saw this posted on the Detroit Free Press.
Periodical of note.
Story posted by a Mitch Elbaum. Pershing High School in Detroit. Okay, two teens, and I believe they were freshmen... Two teens were beating up on each other. It looked like a barroom brawl.
It
Their
happened.
Bodies hurled around the room. Furniture flew. Onlooker screamed, okay? Except this wasn't a barroom. It was a classroom at Detroit's Pershing High School. And the first responder was naturally the teacher, a 5'2" English instructor named Tiffany Eaton.
Tiffany Eaton.
Okay?
She sounds hot. Is there
she
a picture?
Did what she was... No. She did what she was supposed to do. She screamed at them to stop. She radioed for security. No one came because the radio given to her was broken. The teens tumbled to the floor now, one punching the head of the other. So Eaton grabbed the first thing she could, a broom, and swatted the back of the young man on top several times, screaming at him to get off the other student. They separated soon after, and the fight broke up.
Okay? Good move. Good
job,
Tiffany.
If I stop right there, many of you would give this woman a medal.
I'm with her.
Instead, she was fired.
Of course she was.
Because she violated the school's corporal punishment rule. A few days after the incident, which, of course, was filmed by a student's cell phone.
Well, yeah, of course it was. It had to go up on the
Facebook. Instead of the kid
right
trying
away.
To break up the fight, he's filming it.
Well, yeah.
Heaven forbid, here it is, heaven forbid that the kid break up the fight instead of worrying about YouTube viewers. One of the combatants, Kieran Lowry, was asked by a Fox 2 news crew whether he was at fault for his teacher's firing. No, he said. She could have waited for the security, so I think that's what she deserves.
Did he really say thinks?
Yeah.
I think that's what she deserves. Well, that does
so that's...
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could go on the rest of this hour on the zero tolerance policies, this zero whatever in schools. It is so ridiculous. Look, is it a good rule in general that teachers can't whack students with brooms? I guess, you know.
I used to get beat lots.
Yeah,
it didn't bother me.
I was sort of right after that. You could be beat, but they didn't really do it all the time. Like back in the 40s when you were in school, they just come knock your ass out of the chair, wouldn't they? So I don't know.
That's not true.
I think it is.
Not the 40s, but, you know, that was. No, I mean, we had guy teachers. I mean, they'd slam you up against the lockers and
right.
stuff like
yeah.
that. I mean. Kept you in line.
But this stuff, these two kids are beating the heck out of each other. What else was she supposed to do? Like you said, she's 5'2", you know, probably young. I'm just guessing.
I don't know.
But she's getting in there. She gets in between that, she's going to get hurt. Right. By hitting a guy with a look, you're not going to hurt somebody with a broom. I'm picturing one of them cheesy plastic, you know, brooms. Not going to hurt him, but you're going to be enough to get his attention and get him to slow down until security can get there. And this costs you your job, seriously.
Well,
this is the world
me.
We live in. She
okay,
broke up a
this
fight.
This is the world that we live in. She broke up the fight. It said, you know, they stopped and the fight broke up. That's what it used to be when we were
That's
kids.
That's what the goal was.
Well, and it was over.
Yeah.
Why do we have to have security come in and the cops and all? Get in your seat. Shut up. We have a class to do.
Right.
Simple as that.
I remember, you know, and now you read the local paper, and that's the most entertaining rag in the world. It's the Butler Eagle, if you ever get a chance to check it out. Only every seventh word's misspelled. They've gotten better. But, you know, you put in the local, they're just gossip rags is all they are because it's everybody you know getting arrested. And every night there's four or five stories, like in the police blotter, of there was a fight at the high school and both kids were arrested. Fight at the junior high, both kids arrested. Are we really arresting kids for this now? It was pretty much par for the course. I don't want to act like I went to some inner city school, but you're dealing with especially ages like 14 to 16 when the hormones are raging high. Fights were pretty common. You went to the principal, and depending on how it went, you did some detention, you got suspended, and everybody moved on. Now you're leading these kids out in the bracelets. Seriously, what the further sissification of America is what it is, and zero tolerance for anything. And now you take away the ability of teachers to break these things up because you have these armed rent-a-cops roaming around these schools with their chest puffed out when they're not hanging out with their feet up on the metal detector, which metal detectors in school is another thing that completely blows my mind. It's sad. It really is. We've gone so far towards... And you know why they fired her, because there's a certain amount of liability for the school there. Because this kid she whacked with the brooms, his parents are probably going to sue the school because she whacked
him
with the
brooms. And
some
lawyer will take
the
case.
He's beating the piss out of some other kid on the floor, but he's the victim because the teacher whacked him with a broom to get him off of the other kid. It's just pathetic. And it's only going to get worse, Rick. You figure you've got a good 5 or 6 years left on this planet. I got 25 or 30. What's it going to look like when I'm your age?
Yeah.
How sad are things going to be?
You are giving yourself far too much credit.
Yeah, you're right. I might not make it through this show, but let's spin back to sports a little bit here. I don't want to go too deep. You know, Rick, and anybody who's listened to any incarnation of our show, so how about the Canadians beat the Bruins in Game 7 and move on to the Eastern Conference Finals?
Well,
the Rangers and the Bruins.
That, no, in the Canadians, not the Bruins.
In the Yeah, the Rangers and the Canadiens, so big win for Montreal there. Congratulations. That team's a scary team. P.K. Subban is a serious hockey player.
Yes, they are.
And that team was dangerous coming in. Price was hot, and they were on a roll coming in, and the roll keeps going. But anyhow, Rick, you know how I feel about the NCAA and how ridiculous it is. And at least they've stepped back, and now scholarship athletes can have unlimited snacks, which is a really nice thing. We don't have to limit their food anymore. They can have all the snacks they want. Well, there's a young man, looks like an offensive lineman, plays for Oklahoma. Name's Gabe Ickard. All right. Well, he's got himself a girlfriend, and he did it right. He found himself a girlfriend who comes from a little bit of money.
Okay.
Which is what everybody wants to do. You know what they say, your first marriage is for love and the second one's for money, you know, and that's sort of what I want to go for one day, but that's a whole separate conversation. So Mr. Ickard's girlfriend comes from some money and has courtside seats to the Oklahoma City Thunder. So cameras recently caught him sitting courtside at a Thunder playoff game. Well, of course, the NCAA thought something was up there, something stinks. So the NCAA launches an investigation. They talk to him, which I guess that's within reason. It doesn't hurt to ask a question, right?
All right.
Yeah, he says, well, these are my girlfriend's seats. Mr. Ickard and his girlfriend had to sign an affidavit. It was like a 7-page affidavit saying that they were, in fact, boyfriend and girlfriend. That's number one, which is ridiculous. And part of it was she had to sign an affidavit saying she wasn't dating him only because he was a football player, that they were truly interested in dating each other. She wasn't with him just because he was a football player. NCAA clears him of any wrongdoing, and he's allowed to continue dating his girlfriend now as he signed these affidavits.
Well, isn't that nice?
This is the most absurd thing I have ever heard in my life.
And meanwhile, Johnny Manziel was hanging out with LeBron James and everybody else of note.
He's part of LeBron James' posse for his last year and a half at Texas A&M, and this kid can't go to a basketball game with his girlfriend.
Right. But, you know, on the upside of the NCAA, they have granted permission for Boise State to help out a homeless player.
Oh, well, that's nice. Yeah, did they limit his snacks, or can he have all the snacks he wants, too?
Well, you know that thing about giving these
homeless people. Well, you can't feed bums. So, yeah, what are you going to do?
They can't feed him. I guess they can just let him go to school.
Give him some books in a dorm room, but he's on his own for eating. No chicken patties.
He can't eat those books.
It all comes full circle.
But Antoine Turner is a 21-year-old football player. He's going to transfer from Fullerton Junior College to Boise State in a little less than a month, and he's going to get his full scholarship picked up, and a chance to continue playing football. And right now, he's currently homeless in Southern California, and there's nothing Boise State or its fans can do to help.
Fans?
I'm baffled. Yeah, why is a fan?
A private citizen can do whatever the hell they want, right?
Yeah, you would think so. But anyway, recently a feature ran on local TV in Boise telling Turner's story to Broncos supporters who will see him on the field this fall. And it went on and on. He made it to Fullerton. He's from New Orleans. His mother died when he was 4. He made it to Fullerton, where he spent the past year living at a motel in his girlfriend's car. For a time, he found shelter with his uncle, but government housing regulations forced him out. Of course.
This is not the right time to be a bum in this country, I got to tell you.
Now he's passing time until he's scheduled to report to Boise State. Sadly, the athletic department had to issue a statement because rigid NCAA rules prevent anyone affiliated in any form with the Broncos to help. Boise State says it is looking into a waiver that will allow it to offer some assistance to Turner prior to him arriving on June 6th, but it's unclear if the NCAA will grant that request.
They can't put him up in a dorm room and feed him, for God's sake, seriously?
The statement reads, "We need to make it clear to your viewers and Bronco fans that it is not permissible within NCAA rules for boosters of Boise State Athletics to provide benefits to Mr. Turner. That would include money, loans, gifts, discounts, transportation costs, etc. While Mr. Turner's need is abundantly clear, it is not permissible for Boise State, the athletics department, or supporters of the athletics department to assist Mr. Turner at this time. Once Mr. Turner arrives on campus for the start of the summer school program, he will be well taken care of, receiving full tuition, room and board, books, fees, etc. In the meantime, the compliance office is exploring a potential waiver with the NCAA that would allow us to provide assistance prior to the start of summer school.
So assuming he doesn't freeze or starve to death between now and June,
well,
then it'll be all
Southern
right to
Cal,
do.
He's not going to freeze.
Well, that's
he
true.
He may die of thirst. I mean, but,
yeah, it's pretty dry out there,
yeah.
I've heard. Here's my problem with that. You know, I don't get the whole booster thing necessarily, but say anyone affiliated with the program, let me tell you what, I'm not going to do it. But if I wanted to go out there and I wanted to put that kid up in an apartment and feed him, that is none of the NCAA's business because I'm a Boise State fan. You know what I mean? That's where I draw the line.
And well, how do they justify you as a fan? I mean, because you have a Boise State T-shirt on?
Yeah, do they get to come root through my house and say, ah, there's that Boise T-shirt. That's it. I'm putting the program on probation because you gave the poor kid a chicken sandwich. What's happening to the homeless in America? You're not allowed to feed them. You can't put them up. This is them. Again, it's form over function, just like the thing in Daytona Beach. It's because here's what they're thinking. Here's how they're going to justify it. If we could get one of those clowns from the compliance office to come on the air, which we couldn't, and ask them why, they would say, well, what would prevent then from players who aren't truly in need from getting these same benefits, claiming they're in need? This guy is a clear and concise case. He's living on the streets. How about a humanitarian side?
The guy that doesn't need it probably isn't really looking for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah. He's looking for a Maserati. That's what these guys are really – that's what you need to look at. This stuff is just so – just absolute. But trust me, once he gets here, he'll be well taken care of. Well, too bad. What about once summer hits? Are they allowed there all summer? What's this kid going to do?
I'm sure there's camp and all this other junk.
It's just obscene to me. I hate the NCAA in every
You're
way.
You're kidding me.
In every way. It's a total joke. I pray. You know, I didn't know how I felt about it at first because, you know, I do love college athletics. The on-the-court, on-the-field action as it's constructed by and large. I hope this unionization stuff goes through, and I hope the NCAA is brought to its knees and it goes away. It's going to change the whole picture. It's basically they're going to be professional leagues in one form or another, and it's going to change things. But if it humbles this group of charlatans, even one iota, it is completely worth it. I have never seen a more arrogant, wrong-minded – I can't even come up with the adjective – but arrogance is the most arrogant organization in the world, and it's your rules.
Self-righteous.
That's perfect, you know.
Yeah.
And this is what they are, and we're going to make these arbitrary rules, and we're going to apply them where we want, to whom we want, how we want, and then we're going to draw hard lines in the sand over crap like this and giving certain players too many snacks. I know I keep going to that, but that blows my mind. And then we're going to turn the other cheek when real violations are going on. It's just a complete joke. You know, these kids, you can have the debate of whether or not they get paid. These guys, especially at these Division I schools, are, and in the case of this young man, will be a part of a group making huge, obscene amounts of money for these schools and for the NCAA. Treat them like that. If you don't want to pay them, they still should be treated with a level of deference as an employee would be. And to let a guy go through this and to take that hard line that it will absolutely be a violation, shut up. How about that? Anybody wants to put this kid up, if the coach wants to move him into his house and feed him, for God's sake, these aren't improper benefits. This isn't to the benefit of recruiting. He showed up homeless, waiting to go to Boise. He's going there. He's signed. He's sealed. He's delivered. What would anybody have to gain that would hurt any other NCAA football program by giving this kid three squares and a cot? It's absolutely absurd.
Oh, no doubt about that. And we just can't go on and on about the NCAA any more than we already do, because we just never stop.
No,
that's the whole thing.
It could be a constant battle. It's the most frustrating organization in the world.
It is.
Except maybe the city council.
The arrogant self-righteousness of them is
unending.
It's appalling.
It is unending.
You know, last year we started. I don't know. We brought up because Case Keenum took over for Matt Schaub, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then we brought up, you know, remember Casey Kasem, you know, his kids were being not allowed to see him from the mother.
Yeah, had a new wife or something,
well,
right?
No, they've been married for some time, but they're really at odds. Well, anyway, I came across a story, and a judge has appointed one of Casey Kasem's daughters as his temporary conservator after expressing concerns about the safety and whereabouts of the ailing radio personality. Now, we talked about last year, and we kind of made tongue-in-cheek jokes about it. The more I read about this, I mean, it's really sad. I mean, you feel for the guy. The Superior Court Judge Daniel Murphy said Monday that he was worried about Kasem's well-being after an attorney for Kasem's wife said he didn't know where the former radio host is.
And he's gone?
Yeah.
Is the wife gone, or is Casey just gone?
Don't know.
Well, he's quarterback in the Texans. That's where he's at.
The guy's 82. He has Parkinson's disease. And, okay, then a daughter, I found a follow-up story. The daughter of the missing radio legend, Casey Kasem, plans to file a missing persons report, clearing the way for police and FBI to get involved, her publicist said Tuesday. She was appointed as her father's temporary caretaker during a hearing Monday, and she's going to file a report as soon as the paperwork for the conservatorship is done. Adult Protective Services, a court investigator, the judge has appointed an investigator to find him, instead of trying to read this, jargon that they got as a sentence.
Right, right.
But they can't find him.
He's just gone. Casey Kasem just gone.
Yeah, he's suffering from Parkinson's and what is called Lewy body disease, a form of dementia. They told a judge during the hearing Monday that they don't know where he is. Judge Daniel Murphy ordered a court investigator Monday to find Kasem after hearing conflicting information that he is either at a Native American reservation in Washington or is out of the country. You know, the children have complained for months that they've been barred from seeing their father, which is very...
That's weird. What we talked about
he's
before.
He's 82, and she's, I think, like in her 60s. Her kids are
they're adults.
They're middle-aged. So
right.
Yeah, exactly. And, they believe that Carrie Kasem's lawyer, which is one of the children, told the judge the family believes Kasem is being treated in Washington State. I mean, why do you take somebody, you don't let anybody know where, you tried deliberately trying to hide him and keep him from his own children.
You have to wonder, is it a money thing? Because this went back, remember before, this part, this isn't as funny, it's kind of a shame, I thought it'd be funny like that. Remember before, she just locked the door and wouldn't let him in, and they'd have a whole vigil on the front porch, and she just wouldn't let him in the house to see the kids. It's got to be some sort of they're already fighting over his crap before he's dead. That's why I'm glad I'm going to die broke in all likelihood, because there'll be nothing for anybody to fight over. That's a wild story. So this woman is the kid's mother. This isn't a new wife, right?
She's the mother.
See, there it is
right
there.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. However, she's not like a new wife. I mean, apparently they've been together for quite some time. I'm talking 20-some years, I believe.
All right, so he was 60-some odd. She was in her 30s or 40s.
Well, he's 82, so he's probably in his 50s, I'm guessing.
All right, so she married an old man with a bunch of money. Oh, someday this is all going to be mine. Now he gets sick. The kids start sniffing around. So she's going to just snatch him up and disappear and make sure everything that's his is hers and move on from there. It's the only thing that makes sense. It's sad. It's disgusting, but it's the only thing that makes any sense. I mean, how do you just abscond with an entire person? You'd think somebody would notice.
Okay, let's see. He's 82. So he was 48 when he married this woman.
So okay. She had been in her 20s.
Well, I don't know. She doesn't look... Boy, she's like twice as big as him. I see in the picture. But they have one, two... Okay, he was only married for 7 years the first time, and they have four kids.
What a busy 7 years.
Yeah, apparently. So I don't know... Yeah, they were married in 80. I'll see how old she is. Pull her up. She's, yeah. She right now, so in 80, she was 26.
Yeah, so
he was 48.
So to a 26-year-old, somebody's 48, so might as well be a million. So she let the old man crawl on top of her for a few years, waiting for her payday. Her payday's almost here. You can't have them pesky kids sniffing around trying to get the hand on her money. She paid a serious price for that, if you know what I mean. And she's not going to let it go. What I don't understand, can you just scoop up invalids and take them to Indian reservations and hang out, and that's like sovereign ground and you're good? That doesn't make a lick of sense to me whatsoever.
I don't know. I mean, I just don't understand it. It's really weird. And, you know, I mean, if it's just Parkinson's disease, he's certainly still of sound mind.
Well, that's true.
But if he does have, like, dementia...
Well, yeah, that's a game changer right there. He doesn't know what's going on. He might think he's an Indian.
But it could be kidnapping.
Well, I think it is that. If he didn't go willingly, he didn't necessarily go unwillingly. He didn't know where the hell he was going. He was just sort of hanging out. You know?
I don't know, but it's a very sad story. And man, you know, I grew up listening to Casey Kasem on the Top 40. And
I did, too. That's how long he did that.
Well, yeah, the voice of Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. And
he was the voice of Shaggy on Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yes, indeed.
I'll be darned. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, just a lot of, you know, you just hate to see stuff like that with anybody, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
No question. That's just strange. You know, I like to think when I get demented, that, you know, they're not just going to snap, and especially an Indian reservation. The guy worked hard all his life. He lives in some mansion. Now all of a sudden you're sleeping in a teepee. That kind of sucks. I wouldn't want to do that. And what kind of medical care are you getting? You know, they're blowing that sage all over you. What the hell is that going to do for your dementia? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, probably clean your sinuses anyway.
You know those conspiracy theories, Rick? You buy into any of them?
No.
Like 9/11 conspiracies, any of that. Don't bring up the ghosts again. We both know ghosts are butt real. They are.
No, they're not.
They are. It's the only explanation why the board goes out on us every week in the middle of this show.
It's Pedro.
Nah, Pedro's money. Pedro wouldn't mess that up.
Yeah.
So these conspiracy theorists drive me nuts. They really do. Like the 9/11 ones, you know. I don't know. Did the story go down exactly how they told us? Probably not. But it wasn't like Jesse Ventura keeps telling us, it wasn't an inside job, whatever. I hate all this stuff. This one might be the most distasteful, the most horrific one I've ever heard. And I'm just going to read this story. I don't like to do this, but I want to do it justice. So I'm just going to read you this story. It's from the Huffington Post.
Oh, the Huffington. Now, there is a really dedicated, reliable source of information.
Well, that's true. I'll give you that. But just let me read the story. A playground in Mystic, Connecticut, dedicated to a girl shot during the Newtown Massacre, is allegedly being vandalized by truthers who claim the shooting never took place. And now get this, we saw it, all right? This never took place. A vinyl sign weighing 50 pounds was stolen last Tuesday from the Grace McDonald Playground. The sign featured a peace symbol that was based on the 7-year-old girl's drawing. She is one of the 20 children shot by Adam Lanz at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newton, Connecticut on December 14th, 2012. Grace's mother, Lynn McDonald, found out about the theft when a man claiming to have stolen the sign called her. So now he's taunting her with this.
Uh-huh.
During a brief conversation, the sign stealer allegedly told McDonald that he took the sign because he believed the school shooting was a hoax, CBS2.com reports. He also taunted that her daughter never existed, a comment that suggested he thought McDonald was part of the alleged conspiracy. So this guy's really got his stuff together. Adam Lanza fatally shot 20 children and 6 adult staff members at the elementary school after killing his mother at his nearby home in one of the most infamous shootings in recent history. However, a small group of truthers, in quotes, allege the shooting never occurred or was part of a false flag operation designed to open the door to the confiscation of all guns by the government, the Raw Story reports. Truthers offer numerous theories about what they say really happened, but all of them can be easily explained or debunked. The Grace McDonald Playground was opened April 27, is one of 26 being built in Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey by Where Angels Play Foundation to honor the victims of the massacre. The foundation has ordered a replacement sign, blah, blah, blah. So this is all, it's not an isolated event. It comes just days after vandals painted graffiti at a playground in Hartford dedicated to a Newton victim, Anna Grace Marquez Green. The sign was spray painted with the letters B-E-K-S with a peace sign and the words "To Sandy Hook," CBS Connecticut reports. Police are still investigating both incidents.
So what happened to these people?
They never existed.
No. The vandals and the thieves.
They haven't caught them yet.
Well, I mean, he's calling people and taunting them about so nobody saw them steal it or...
Apparently not. She didn't know it was missing until he called her and told her
he
took it.
I mean, there's a cell phone behind every tree and every building and every swing set in this country.
Yeah, they couldn't be looking that hard.
No, exactly. So, because you don't believe... No matter what, you don't believe it happened. Okay, that's fine. So now all of a sudden you have license to be a thief.
Well, yes, because the mother was part of the conspiracy, obviously, if the child never
existed.
So
you can steal.
They're complicit.
So you can steal.
They're complicit in the wrongdoing.
I guess one guy I saw, a police officer got fired for shooting and killing a 93-year-old woman.
Oh, I did see
the other
that.
Day. She was brandishing a weapon and firing at him.
Yeah, but because she was 93, he couldn't shoot her.
Where does it say that once you reach a certain age, you are no longer a human being?
Well, we had that discussion about the 90-year-old drug mule just last week.
Exactly. It makes no sense to me. This is still a person. It doesn't matter if they were half out of their mind, be it on drugs or dementia. They was brandishing a weapon and could kill people.
Right, and if his life others' lives are in danger.
Going back to your story, why, because you don't agree with something, you think you can be a thief or a vandal? It makes no sense to me. Yet if you say something against whatever, I mean, be any, you know, I can't even think of a good example, then, you know, I just can't wrap my head around this guy. Okay, say somebody came out and said that they were disgusted by the Michael Sam smooch when he got drafted. Oh, he's a hater and he's not progressive. Yet these people are stealing things and it's fine because they believe it was a conspiracy.
Yeah.
I'm not condoning either one. That's not the point.
Right.
You know, I don't understand.
But there's what you have to agree with, but because this involves guns, maybe there's some truth to it. And that's what number one, the story's horrific. What can you imagine, just imagine for a moment, you send your kids to school, you go to work, and then you get that phone call that some madman went through there and mowed these kids down. What an awful, awful thing. That's the stuff, you know... There's been lots of school shootings before. It's until I've had a kid, I take every one of these personally. I do.
Sure, exactly. I do too.
Now that I have a child, I understand it. So imagine the grief of these parents. And these guys, these wackos, these gun rights wackos, decide to take up this cause and actually harass the families. And this is one of the things that irritates me is...
It's like the neo-Nazis, the white supremacists. Well, the Holocaust never happened.
Right.
What, this is 1940-something and they have the technology to stage these films?
Yeah, come on. But you look at this, you know, and there's the big gun control debate and a lot of thought of removing guns. And... I speak for both of us. We're avid hunters. We're gun owners.
Yes.
Responsible gun owners. That's the difference right there. And these are the kind of people that they think they're... When I tell people I hunt, when I tell people I own many guns, I'll say it, I own many guns, a bit of a... I wouldn't say collector, but I enjoy guns. I'm sure you do as well. Anybody in this area where we're from does. People associate us with idiots like this. These are the same people that the day Barack Obama got elected, I can't go buy a box of shells to go hunting because we have to start hoarding ammo because the evil Democrat's going to take our guns away.
Right.
You know, and then we take it to this level. Now, this is a real special fringe group of wackos. But this is, you know, it's so sickening in this country. And what bothers me is then they'll hide behind their free speech rights. But then anybody who disagrees with them, they'll shout them down. You know, sort of to your point earlier with the Michael Sam thing or anything of that ilk. that is the popular opinion, you know, in the country. If you have an unpopular one, you can't speak it, but I can speak it. You know, guys like they need to round these guys up, and they need to, you know, do they still do the rubber hose thing? They need to beat them with an inch of their life. Anybody who's had anything to do with this, this is disgusting, and I'm ashamed as a gun owner to be associated with people like this. And believe me, the real anti-gun people put us all in the same bucket.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. And yeah, don't lump me in with a bunch of kooks.
Right, exactly. And that's what stinks in this country in general. It's our political culture. That's the best way. It's the because everything's political now. Sexuality, when you talk about Michael Sam, guns, everything's political. And the only people who get any run are the fringe extremes on both sides. And the rest of us living in the middle, following the law, just happy to be a man in America, living by your constitution. We get lumped in with one side or the other because you can't be just normal Rick and Rick doing your thing. You got to be on one fringe or the other, and that's the only people gets attention. It's a 24/7 media cycle. I understand that, but it's so disgusting. And these people need to be taken out back and shot. You know, as I talk about being a responsible gun owner, now I advocate shooting these people. But I firmly stand behind it, and I wouldn't mind being the one who did it. This is ridiculous. That is disgusting. It makes me ill.
Wow.
It's great American tragedy, and you trivialize it by making it about your BS gun cause, and I have no patience for it whatsoever.
Well,
was exhausting. I got a little fired up there.
Well, that's because you go nuts half the time, and you know, that's just the way it is.
It's what I do.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about cocaine last week, Rick. I think I'm going to move to England. You know, cocaine use is so prevalent in England right now that they are starting to detect it in the water.
That's prevalent.
That's really prevalent. So I don't know how's it getting the water. Just through urine. That's kind of gross. But it's the only way it's getting down there,
I guess.
But they say 700,000 people in Britain are thought to be using cocaine currently, and thus while the demand's going up, it's getting cheaper and cheaper. So I think these mountains of blow I'm looking for.
Well, I was just
going to
say
that
they must make pretty good money.
Yeah,
over there.
That's what I'm thinking. So if you're thinking about like me, if you're thinking about getting into cocaine, it looks like England is the place for you.
Yeah, detectable in the water. That's a high concentration coming out.
Now they say it's not harmful amounts. It's trace amounts right now, but it's on the rise. So that wouldn't be bad. You just go over there. You need a quick bump. You just get a glass of water. Yeah, it's a lot simpler. Keep the government out of it. You know, just have a glass of water.
Yeah, but that's testing. This is probably not before it's treated.
Well, that's probably true too. I don't know. Can you treat the cocaine out of water? I don't know.
Well,
you know, you can get the sewage out of it. Can you get the cocaine out of it?
I would think so. Yeah.
I would hope so. That always creeped me out. I'm glad I live in a place where I actually have a well. You know, everybody thinks we're Amish, and that probably furthers that belief for them. I actually still have a well in the ground, so I know my water isn't recycled urine, and I always take solace in that fact.
No, I mean, it's filtered through the ground from all the animals going on.
Well, yeah,
it's filtered.
It's deer urine, but it feels better than your urine. I feel better about that. You know what I mean?
True. I agree. Well, that's about an hour, isn't it?
Yeah, it's close enough, I would say. These marathons are getting tough. We might have to find a better way to do this, Rick.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
We have to. You're wanting to kill people and everything else, and that's just not...
Well, I think that... I wouldn't actually do it. I better put that out there, a disclaimer. That was for entertainment purposes only, and I am, in fact, not a murderer.
No, that's true.
Does that help me out a little bit?
You're too lazy to be one.
What would happen? Can you imagine one of these guys turns up dead, and the FBI shows up at my door and wants to know where I was at tonight?
Yeah, really.
That'd be kind of funny. We'd probably get some downloads, though, with me telling that story, so that might not be an awful idea. What do you want to do on the out song? I'm struggling to find anything.
I don't know. Something. It doesn't matter. Just play anything.
I don't want to play anything that ticks you off. You get very...
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Here's one you'll like.
I bet.
I don't have Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So that's it. We're going to stop her a little short of an hour tonight. It's been a rough night. The equipment giving us a hard time again. Hey, check out on the... Fantasy Sports Network, fantasysportsnetwork.com. Hit Watch Live TV, sign up. All you have to do is give your email address and create a password. You can watch us every Sunday at 2 o'clock. It's an episode of the show you're not hearing. all episode this week. This one coming up Sunday at 2. Relio Mastrantonio, NFL agent, had a man, Shelby Harris, I believe, drafted in the 7th round by the Raiders. Get the update on what draft day looks like, on what the unrestricted free agents look like. A lot of good information there. And we also looked at the fantasy impact of these guys being of the rookies coming into the league. So great stuff, and that's the only place you can hear it, fantasysportsnetwork.com. After that, next time you hear us, it'll be Wednesday, 7 o'clock, the live show. Till
get
then,
on fantasysportsnetwork.com, sign in, click watch live TV, and it pops right on
there
up.
There it is. Our golden pipes, once again. You never get enough of Fleeger and Briggs.
Yeah, and it's a very good show. I mean, please listen to it. Breaking it down, he's updating some of his other clients.
Absolutely.
It's just a good show.
It's a look on the inside you're not going to get anywhere else.
That's right.
So, till then, we'll see you.
Hey, take care.
This song okay?
This song's wonderful.
All right. Making sure.
Can't go wrong with Steppenwolf.
I know you're tired and grumpy, so I wanted to go out with something you could live with.
Nobody doesn't like Born to be Wild.
Yeah, even I like this. It's old. I don't like old things like you.
Steppenwolf was a good group. Didn't last as long as some groups, but they were good.
Did they have anything other than this song?
Oh, yeah. Magic Carpet Ride.
All right, I know Magic Carpet Ride.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a Steppenwolf fan. How about that?
There you go.
Something we can agree on.
I like it. All right, The Pusher.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I've heard it. I don't know it offhand.
Yeah, you do. I know you have.
Probably. It's like the 60s.
Huh?
This is the 60s or 70s?
68 is when that album came out.
The Dirty Hippies is what they were. I'm looking at the album cover here.
Do you see the guy with the fuzzy hair with his arms in front of him?
All right, on the far right here.
Yeah. The real bushy hair. His name's Goldie McJohn, was a keyboard player.
All right.
I saw some sort of a show, I don't know what it was, on what happened to certain people. Or
all
whatever.
Right. Where are they now?
Yes, more or less. All
right.
And this was like, I'm going to say late 90s, early 2000 when I saw this show. You know what that guy was doing? This is a keyboard player from Steppenwolf.
No clue.
He was working at a driving range in like Oregon.
Used up all that Born to be Wild money, did he?
Yeah.
That's a shame. That'd be a good job, though, driving range. You get to drive the little buggy and then everybody shoots balls at you. On driving range?
Yeah, but going from that to...
To Born to be Wild to driving...
He was totally burnt.
The ball... no doubt. He smoked all that money is what he did. All right, let's get out.
The thing is, you would think, I mean, the guy can still obviously
play a keyboard,
or piano. I mean, you'd think he could just get a gig somewhere at a bar.
Probably fun to get high and drive around the golf cart, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe. All right, we'll get out of here.
Let's get out of here.